Luke chapter 5, verse 1. As the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear God's word, he was standing by Lake Gennesaret, which is the Sea of Galilee. He saw two boats at the edge of the lake. The fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, which belonged to Simon, and asked him to put out a little further from the land. Then he sat down and was teaching the crowds from the boat. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you this morning, Lord. And Father, I just pray and just ask you to help me, Lord God, right now, Lord, that I can just stand back and get out of the way, Lord God, and use me as a mouthpiece unto your people, Lord God. And Father, I pray that as we go through this sermon, Lord God, you've given us this morning, Lord God, that we could, God, people would hear, Lord, that need you, Lord God, this morning, God. And I know with this meeting of church, Lord God, there's people that need to come to your saving grace, Lord God. And I pray that they would listen to your words, Lord God. And Father, that they would maybe block out everything that they have been taught about salvation and how to come to salvation, Lord God, but realize how easy it is, Lord God. And Father, I just pray that this morning, God. And Father, if there's a Christian here, Lord, that needs a closer walk with you, Lord, I pray that they would do that. And again, Lord, I pray it would be not only hearers of your word, but would do what your word says, Lord God. And Father, I lift up these families to you, Lord God, that we have just prayed for, Lord. And God, these situations, God, and I lift up our revival to you this morning, God, and pray, God, that we would all get just revived from that, Lord. And we give you the praise and the honor and the glory for it all. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. I don't know if any of y'all have, there's a series that's out, or has been out a couple of years, and it's called Chosen, and it's a guy in, I believe he's in Washington State, but anyway, he is producing all the gospel in movies, and it is out. I was watching one of these movies last week, and it was on this situation, and the Lord led me to preach this sermon, though I've preached it many times. But I want to look at verse 1 again, and verse 1 always jumps out at me. It says, as the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear his word. I want to stop right there. Can you imagine this in biblical times when Jesus walked the face of the earth, there was, when they say, a crowd of people, they were talking about a crowd of people, and sometimes the numbers were 200,000 or more people, because people were hungry for something new. They were looking for the Messiah, and Jesus had came on the scene. The movie sets a story in Galilee, around the Sea of Galilee, and that also sets out that these fishermen there, that we'll read about in a minute, were fishing. They fished all the time, and they were fishing hard, and they had fished, and we'll read in a minute, they had caught nothing. And they're on the side of the Lake of the Sea of Galilee, and they're cleaning up their net. And this crowd of people comes following Jesus Christ to hear the gospel, because Jesus had healed people. There had been a lady healed demons. He had changed water to wine at his mother's request at a wedding feast. There had been a lot of things. People have begun to hear about Jesus. These fishermen also were fishing and working hard because they were in debt to the Romans. They had they were behind on their taxes, and they needed to fish, and they were about to lose everything that they had. And so, but this crowd of people was looking for something new. And I want to ask you this morning, what did you come to church for? I think about this crowd of people, and the gospel says, as the crowd was pressing on Jesus to hear God's word. Think about that. There were so many people there, and Jesus represents God. Jesus represented, think about the church today. Can you see a world, and we live in a world just like that. The world needs Jesus Christ. There is nothing in this world that is going to save you. Nothing in this world, that is the peace of it or the comfort of it, is not going to comfort you forever. There's nothing in this world but Jesus Christ is going to get you to eternal peace and to eternity. These people were pressing against Jesus Christ, and Jesus standing, and they're coming so close to him, he can't even talk. So he sees the men fishing, and he asked them, could get in the boat and push out. And he pushed out into the water where he could talk to them, where he could preach to the people. Think about what we get. Think about the United States of America. Think about the world. What do? That we would crowd in on anybody or anything. Think about that. I got thinking, I was sitting there a while ago, and God laid this on my heart to do this sermon today. As the crowd was pressing in on Jesus, to hear the word. Can you imagine a church that we had thousands of people out there pressing in to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? I'm talking about, we live in a world today where people, they don't even know God. They don't care nothing about God, and they don't want to hear nothing about God. But think about Black Friday. In the last 5 or 6 years, there's been people trampled and killed pressing in on the doors of Walmart to get to buy a TV set cheaper. They go to these ball games and they run. Look at what happened in Houston a couple months ago. They got a rapper or a musician up there, whatever he was, whatever they were doing, and people, I forget how many, 10, 15 people were killed and many, many hospitalized because they were pressing up to get to hear this guy rap. These people were pressing to hear Jesus Christ preach the gospel. And I hope that you came in here this morning. You didn't have to run over nobody. You didn't have to break the doors down. That you came in here to listen to the story of Jesus Christ. Because I'm not, if you came in here to see somebody that's special, if you came in here, I'm special, all right. But if you came in here to see somebody that thought they was somebody or a great, our singing is wonderful. I'm not talking about the singing, but if you come in here to see a great concert or whatever it is, forget about all that and listen to what Christ tells us in his word. Amen. This crowd was there and they had presence. They wanted to hear the gospel so bad that Jesus had to get in a boat and get out from the land to keep from being ran over, to keep from being trampled. And it says, he saw these two boats. And they were at the edge of the water, and the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, which belonged to Simon, and asked him to put out a little further. So he got into the boat, and he asked him to put out a little further, and he goes out 10 or 15 yards or whatever it is, and he starts Jesus preaching. And all these people are listening to Jesus preach. There's a miracle that takes place here, and the same miracle can take place in your life today because there was a man here. There were three men here. They were in a situation in their life. They needed to catch fish, and they needed God. You may be here this morning, and you may be looking. You may be digging. You may be trying to find peace. There may be the Roman government may be after you. But I mean, the government may be after you because you need to pay your taxes. Whatever the situation is in your life, and whatever is pressing in on your life, listen to what God does in this situation. So he goes out, he preaches, and when he gets through preaching to the people, verse 3 again, he says, he got into the boat, which belongs to Simon, and asked him to put out a little further from land. Then he sat down and was teaching the crowd from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Then Simon says, Master, Simon replied, we've worked hard all night long and caught nothing. Think about this. These guys had fished all night long. They were fishing hard, and they have not caught anything. And Jesus comes along and tells them, why don't you just go out there, put out a little bit, go out a little bit, we're 15, 20 yards, go out about 50 yards, and drop your nets. And Simon has the same response that you and I would have. Maybe you'll have this morning when God, Christ asked you to move. He may ask you to accept them this morning. He may be on you right now trying to convict you to come to Jesus Christ. What are you going to tell him? Simon gave the natural response, Master, we have worked all night. You may be saying, Jesus, I've heard about you. I've heard this all my life, and nothing has changed in my life. And Jesus may be saying to you, but one more time. Give me one more chance. Put out a little further. Try a little harder. And so Simon sits there, and this, pay attention to what Simon does. Simon is, they've all heard about Jesus. They know who Jesus is. They're even taking on Jesus' teaching, but they hadn't become to follow him, hadn't come to follow him yet. And Simon says, Master, we have worked hard all night long, and we caught nothing. This is it. This is what you need to say this morning. But at your word, I'll let down the nets. That's what you need to say to Christ this morning, people. If Jesus Christ is on you to come to him, if the Holy Spirit of God, if you feel that in your heart this morning, that's your heart is full, your stomach is you're nauseated, you really want to get out of here, but here you are, and you sit between two people, and you can't get out. And God is talking to you, and he's saying, one more time, give me one more chance. You need to say, Lord, I have tried everything in this world, and that's it. I have tried everything in this world. But remember, God is not of this world. God is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he told Simon, put out a little deeper and drop your net. And Simon said, we've been working all night. But at your word, you say, Jesus, I am wrapped up in this. You know where my life is at. You know where my family's at. You know where my home's at. You know where my job's at. You know the situation that I've got myself into. But Jesus, if you say so, Simon said, but at your word, I'll do it. And when they did this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets began to tear. They went out a little further, 25 or 30, 50 yards or 50 feet, and they dropped their nets, and all of a sudden the water started moving. The boat started turning sideways, and the nets were full of fish, so many fish that the next verse says, so they signaled to their partners in the other boats to come and help them. They came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Why did this happen? Why will Jesus, I'm telling you this morning, how will Jesus change your life? And you say, I've tried everything. Nothing's working. At your word, at his word. You have to have faith. You have to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you have faith in his name, when you say, yes, Lord, yes, I'm going to try it, then things begin to happen in your life. You see, we as people, we in this world that we live in, we got so much help out there, or so-called help, we can go to the doctor when we get sick. And God just stopped me on that before I said anything. We can go to the doctor when we get sick. A doctor's a man. And if you ever look at a doctor's office, you know what they say, that they are practicing medicine? That's what they're doing. They're practicing. They don't know what they're doing. This coronavirus is going around. They're shooting at it. They're trying, but they don't. They said they're practicing medicine. What does practice mean? It means they're trying to get as good as they can get, but they will never, ever get to the point to where they can heal everything. And what a doctor tells you, look, you got terminal cancer, you got heart problems, I can't do anything. We had a brother here that's healing right now that lives in Point Blank that had a massive heart attack and two heart surgeries in 2 weeks' time and replaced a valve in his heart and done it. And they told him, you got a few days to live. They sent his daughters came from California to be with him until he died. I went to see him. Hospice was with him. And he turned it over to God, and he is healed, and he is walking. He is getting well, getting stronger every day. And the doctor told him, I don't know what happened, but you will. You may outlive me. If you will do what God says and quit doing what man says, the doctor, you go to the doctor. The doctor writes you a prescription that he probably don't even know what kind of chemicals and all this medicine he give you. You take it to a pharmacist that you have never saw in your life, say, give him this piece of paper, and he fills it out, and he gives you a bottle, and you go to the house, and you take 3 pills a day for 7 days. You don't know what's in pill. You see what I'm saying? But Jesus Christ, when you say, Simon's reply was, we've worked all night. That's what our reply will be. That's what your reply is right now. I know that you are sitting there right now. I don't know who I'm talking to. I don't know who I'm talking to. But I know you're sitting there and Jesus is telling you, try me one more time. Go out a little further and drop your nets. And you're saying, but Lord, I can't do that. I've tried everything. I got all this in my life. I have tried everything. But you know what, Lord? At your word. And at his word, they dropped the nets and they caught so many fish that they had to get help to get all the fish on the bank. Now I want to show you the rest of this. Verse 7 again says, so they signaled to their partners in other boats to come and help them. They came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. And when Simon saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me because I am a sinful man. What did Simon do? Number one, when he was asked to go take the boats out and drop the nets, he said, but he made an excuse. But at your word, Lord, I'll do it. And Simon realized that even after the Lord had brought this miracle of all these fish, and they filled all the boats on the Sea of Galilee, and they come to the shore with all these fish, and he realized then that God was somebody that he had never, ever imagined. And he said, God, I'm a sinner. I have messed up my life. I am unworthy, Lord, to take anything that you give me. I am a sinner. I'm a sinful man. Go away from me. Verse 9 says, for he and all those with him were amazed at the catch of fish they took. And so when James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were with Simon, let me back up. I got ahead of myself. For he and all those with him were amazed at the catch. And so James and John, Zebedee's sons, who were with Simon, don't be afraid, Jesus told him, for now on you will be catching people, or fishermen of men, as it says in the King James and the NIV. What did they do? Simon realized that he was a sinner, and even though he realized who God was. And I want you to realize this morning who Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ, the one that is talking to you right now, he's not telling you to put your nets out. He's telling you to put away all this stuff in your life. He's not telling you to get rid of it. He's just saying, listen to me. Do what I am telling you to do. Put out a little further. In other words, give me just a little more time. And when he did, the miracle happened. And then he confesses his sin to God. He says, I'm a sinner. And God told him, Jesus Christ told him, son, don't be afraid. I told you, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You have followed my instructions to the T. You have confessed your sin, and now you are saved. You will become a fisherman of men. You know what happened then? Pay attention to this. This is salvation. This is what you got to do. That boat that represents in this story, that boat that was full of fish, in your life, that sin that is in your life, once he had saw the miracle, once he had answered God, he let down the nets. In the deeper water, the nets were full. He praised God. He confessed his sin to God. And then he pulled that boat, which represents in you sin. He pulled that boat up on the bank. Look what the word says. Then they brought the boat to land and left everything and followed him. Whoa! He left everything and followed him. He had everything that he had. This guy was, they were fishermen. They had boats. They had nets. They had all their equipment and everything. They left it right there. God is telling you that if God is calling on you this morning to trust him as your Lord and Savior, he's asking you to put out a little further. He's asking you to trust him. And if you do, then he's saying you're saved. That's what he's saying. Bring your boat up here and park it and go on. There was a man in the service this morning. I used the illustration last Sunday. I don't know if he was here last Sunday or not, but he can tell you. Because he was tormented with cigarettes, and he took them up here one Sunday, laid them on the aisle, and they gone. That's it. Over with. God said, Simon, take you. I'm going to keep on repeating this so you'll catch what I'm trying to get. What God wants. Take that boat out a little further. Drop down them nets. God showed them who he was. And I'll tell you who he is. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus Christ was the baby in the manger. Jesus Christ is the man they hung on that cross. And Jesus Christ is the one that was murdered on that cross. Jesus Christ went to that tomb. He arose from that grave. He went to prepare a place for you. And one day he is going to come again and receive you. And when you go before him, as I preached last Sunday in Hebrews 27:11, he said, appoint a man to die and then to God. And if you have accepted God's word, if you have let your nets out, if you have realized that you are a sinner and confess your sins to God, don't be afraid. There's a whole bunch of empty spots out here this morning. I know a lot of them watching me on the TV or internet. Jesus said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. We have let the government in the last 2.5 years scare people to death. Jesus said, don't be afraid. You have confessed me as your Lord and Savior. I am your God. You have confessed me. You brought the boats up on the bank. You walked off from that. You have accepted me. Don't worry. Because you know what he says? Jesus says, come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden. He said, he says, John 6:33, I believe it is. He said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Come to me. I have overcome the world. Jesus says, let down your nets. Realize you're a sinner. And when you realize you're a sinner, confess you're a sinner and come to me. Don't be afraid. What's he talking about? Don't be afraid of. What Jesus talking about? Don't be afraid.
At that time,
as I said in the beginning, the Romans were after these fishermen because they were behind on their taxes. And they had come between their soon-to-be brother and the Lord. Matthew was the one that was trying to get the taxes from them. They made a little deal. And their little deal, it fell through. And so they were out there fishing, trying to catch up on their taxes. And Jesus knew them, and he went to help them just like Jesus knows you. So I'll tell you something this morning. The only difference between you, if you're sitting there and you never confess Christ, and myself, is that I was a sinner, and I am now saved by the grace of God. Only difference. No difference. I'm not no better than you are. There's not a Christian in here that will tell you they're no better than you are. All we did is one day we decided to take the boat out a little further, to drop the net, to confess that we were sinners. And Jesus said, don't be afraid. I know y'all may be sick of hearing me say this, but don't be afraid. Jesus said, all you got to do is confess. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that I am God and you shall be saved. He may have been telling him, don't be afraid, because the law, the Pharisees were teaching the law, and they would tell him, you had to do this and this and this and this and all this to be saved. The same is true with our world today, and half the churches in it. You got to go their way. You got to do what they say. People, it has nothing to do with the world. It has nothing to do with the church. It has nothing to do with righteousness. What it has to do with is that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died on the cross of Calvary, that he arose from that grave, and one day you're going to go be with him. And what did he say? Simon told him, he said, I'm not worthy to accept what you... There's not... Think about what Jesus Christ went through on that cross at Calvary. The beating and the torment and the torture and all that he went through on that cross for you and I. And I promise you, I am not worthy of anything that he went through for me. But I accept it by faith. And that's what Simon finally did. Peter said, I'm not worthy. And he fell on his knees. And he told Jesus, go away. I'm not even worthy to wear your sandals. I'm not even worthy to be in front of you. And Jesus said, don't be afraid. You're one of my kids. I use this illustration a whole lot. You know, you and I, Jesus Christ, it may be hard for you to believe, but Jesus Christ loves you whoever you are, wherever you're at, whatever you do. He knows everything you're doing. You can't hide anything from him. Many, many times, when I was, before I come back to the Lord, I would lay at night and come in from drinking and acting a fool, and I'd lay at night and I still knew who God was. And I'd pray every night, Lord, forgive me. And finally once in my life, he got a hold of me and he straightened me out. But he saved me by his grace, not by what I could do. You can't quit nothing. You can't, you know, you may be, cigarettes, tobacco. And if God saves you and he don't tell you to get rid of that, that's fine. It ain't on that. What it is about the Lord Jesus Christ coming into your heart and you accepting him as your Savior and believing him and studying his word, read his word every day and praying and get in a church somewhere, this one or one where you feel comfortable about, that you will learn this. Because this is what, it's not about, I told you, it's not about religion. People get hot at me all the time about that at a funeral. It's not about religion. I want you to come to church. It's not about coming to church. I want you to pray. I want you to read God's word. It's not about you quitting. When I was preaching, the first church I pastored, as soon as service was over, I'd run out there and get a dip of snuff and be shaking your hand, telling you, you know. God didn't take it away from me when I first got saved. He saved my soul. And he began to work on me. And he began to chip that stuff that he wanted out. It ain't some preacher's up. It's not my job to tell you, you better quit drinking, you're going to go to hell. It's not, you better quit doing this, you're going to go to hell. That's not my job. My job to you is to present you with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it is simple. Simon, what did Simon do? Did he go through any kind of... He already had his boat there. He let out and they let Jesus in the boat. Jesus talked to people. He said, just go a little further out there and drop your net. He trusted Jesus to do that. And when he saw what happened, he confessed that he was a sinner. And Jesus accepted him. And he said, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishermen of men. From now on, you will be fishermen of men. In other words, from now on, you're going to tell somebody else what I've done for you. You know, you don't go, it's not a preacher's business to condemn. It's not a Christian's business to condemn. We got in the condemning business. We better than somebody else. You know, we got something that you don't have. No. The only difference in you and me is that I have accepted Jesus Christ my Savior, and maybe you hadn't. I preached a many funeral that people are amazed at what I said because I knew the person accepted Jesus on his deathbed, or I knew the person knew the Lord when I was visiting them during their, and maybe they never went to church. I want you to go to church, and that's part, Jesus will put it on you to come to church and to pray and to read his word, but he's not going to tell you, you're going to hell if you do this, you do that. You know why you go to hell? For not accepting Jesus Christ as the Son of God. That's it. Everything else, what you got to do is accept Jesus Christ. And it's hard to believe sometimes. And I think I mentioned this last Sunday. My daddy was pastor over here and preached to Brother Bill Botar and all these people that brought the gospel to Oakhurst, got saved in their revival. He preached hellfire and brimstone all his life, and I love him. I can't, after I see Jesus, I want to see him. But, you know, hell is real. And I preach hell once or twice a year. Hell is real. That's a real place. But the thing about it is, all you got to do is accept Jesus Christ and don't be afraid. And Simon and them, now Jesus may heal you. Not many people get this call. He may call you to be a missionary. He may call you to be a preacher. He may call you to be a Sunday school teacher. But if he calls you, he calls you to be a fisherman of man. He wants you to go tell people what he is and who he is. Don't be afraid. Take him by the hand. There's a song, take the hand of the man by the Sea of Galilee, something like that. I mess up words and sound on. Put your hand in his hand. Don't be afraid and trust him. The whole thing is to trust him. I've told y'all, Romans 10:9-10, confess your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus is God and you shall be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Don't say anything about anything else, and I'm going to say that till the Lord stops me from preaching or takes me home. It's all about Jesus. It's not about man. It's not about some man forming it to how you get to him. It is to confess Jesus as your Savior. So, I'm fixing to pray, and then we're going to have a song of invitation. When I get through praying, I want everybody to stand. If Jesus Christ is calling you to put that boat out, put it out. If he's calling you to confess, confess. And you'll be a better person when you walk out that door. Amen. You say, but I'm not clean enough. It don't make any difference what you're doing. Jesus don't care. He wants you. Just like that clay in that potter, on that potter's wheel. He'll work your life and work it. He'll get something off of it, and they'll put you back together, they'll find something else, they'll keep on and tear you. tearing you up and throwing you down and tearing you up until one day when you walk into paradise, and then you'll be perfect. Father, I come to you right now. Lord, I praise you and I honor you, and I thank you, Jesus, for the opportunity to be in your house. I pray, Lord, right now, and I know, Lord God, that there's people here, Lord God, that need you, Lord. There's people here that been fishing all night. They've been looking for everything, looking for peace in their heart, looking for peace in their mind. And God, maybe peace in a bottle, maybe peace in a bottle of pills, maybe peace in just doing something different. Help them to understand right now, Lord God, that you're the only thing that will ever change their life. You, Lord. I pray, Lord God, that right now, wherever they're at, we stand in this, all over this auditorium, God, that they would just stand and say, Lord, I realize now that I'm a sinner. And Father, I just want to give you my heart. And God, I want to trust you. I'm not afraid. I want to trust you with my life. And I want to do my best to live for you the rest of my days. And God, I pray that they do that right now, Lord God. And Father, if they want to come down, I pray that they come down and get on their knees and pray before you, Lord God. But God, I know that you said that if we didn't confess you before men, Lord God, that you wouldn't confess us before you, Father. Father, I pray they come. But I know, God, that if they confess right where they're standing, God, they're going to tell somebody before they leave this building if they get saved. God, we give you the praise, we give you the honor, we give you the glory. In your precious holy name we pray, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.